ଅଛନ୍ତି ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण साक्षात् श्रीमद् भगवतः स्वामिने नमः नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे नमः प्रचारणे नवशेषे शनिवारे पश्चात्पदेश चरणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सरस्वती गोपाल वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे हे कृष्ण बाबा कैंटो पार्ट 25 वर्स 54
अंदामी
शाम
अमी शाम
पौराणा
पौराणा
निर्वाण
वेशस्ता
वेशस्ता उबाओ अंदावमीशां पौराणां निर्वाकेशस्तावुभौ अक्षन्वतां अधिपते करोति च accompanied by them, he used to go here and there and perform various activities. Purport, this is a reference to the arms and legs of humanity. The two legs do not speak and they are blind. The person simply trusts his legs to take him walking and his legs will fall into a hole or bump into something. Thus, led by the blind legs, one's life may be placed in jeopardy. Of the senses that are working, the hands and legs are very important, but they have no eyes to see. This means that
hands and legs. In the hands and legs, there are no holes. In the head, there are many holes, two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, and one mouth, but lower down in the arms and legs, there are no holes. Consequently, the arms and legs have been described as undog blind. Although the living entity has many holes in its body, nonetheless has to work with its hands and arms. Although the living entity is the master of many other senses, when he has to go somewhere, do something or touch something, he has to use his blind legs and hands. Sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, who was named Visuchanam. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Therefore, according to Vedic conclusion, oneself is situated within the heart. According to Vedic language, Sridhyayam Atma Pratishta, the self is situated within the heart. In the material condition, however, the spirit soul is covered by the material quality, and in goodness, passion, darkness, and within the heart, these three qualities react. For instance, when one is in goodness, it feels happiness, and one is in passion, it feels satisfaction, it feels material enjoyment, and when one is in darkness, it feels bewilderment. All these activities are of the mind, and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling, and willing. When the living entity is encircled by wife, children, and home, he acts on as a plane. Sometimes he's very happy, sometimes he's very unsatisfied, sometimes not satisfied, and sometimes he's bewildered. Bewilderment is called moha, illusion. Illusion by society, friendship, and love. The living entity thinks that his so-called society, friendship, and love, nationality, community will give him protection. He does not know that after death, he will be thrown into the hands of a very strong material nature. They will force him to accept a certain type of body according to his present work. This body may not even be a human being. Thus, the living entity's feeling of security in this life in the midst of society, wife, and friendship is nothing but illusion. All living entities engaged in various material bodies are illusion by the present activities of material enjoyment. They forget their real business, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone who is not in Krishna consciousness must be considered to be an illusion. One's so-called feelings of happiness and satisfaction resulting from material things are also illusions. Factually, neither society, friendship, love, nor anything else can save one from the onslaught of the external energy, which is symptomized by birth, death, old age, and disease. To get even one living entity out of the illusion, illusory condition is very difficult. And therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who are surrendered under me can easily cross beyond it. Therefore, unless one surrenders completely to the lotus feet of Krishna, he cannot get up of the entanglement of the three modes of nature. Being thus entangled in different types of mental concoction, engaged in fruitive activities, King Parashana came completely under the control of material intelligence and thus cheated. Indeed, he used all the desires of his wife, the queen. Therefore, when a living entity is in such a bewilderment, he is under the control of his wife or material intelligence, and thus satisfy the intelligence of the so-called wife and act exactly according to her dictates. Various shastras advise that for material convenience, one should accept his wife, should keep his wife while he's satisfied by means, by giving her ornaments and by following her instructions. In this way, there will be no trouble in family life. Therefore, for one's social benefit, one is advised to keep his wife satisfied. In this way, when one becomes a servant of his wife, he must act according to the desires of his wife. Thus, one becomes more and more entangled. And Bengal has said that if one becomes an obedient servant of his wife, he loses all reputation. However, the difficulty is that unless one becomes most obedient servant of his wife, family life becomes disturbed. In Western countries, the disturbance gives rise to the divorce law, and Eastern countries like India, their separation. Now, this disturbance is confirmed by the new introduction of the divorce law in India. Within the heart, the mind is acting, thinking, feeling, and willing, and falling under the control of one's wife is the same as falling under the control of material intelligence. Thus one begets children by his wife and becomes entangled in so many activities of control, mental concoctions. Of the many inhabitants of the city, there are two persons named Nirvak and Peshaskrit. Although King Pranjana was the ruler of citizens, he unfortunately used to associate with these blind men. Accompanied by them, he used to go here and there and perform various activities. So the previous verses describe many of the senses. Some were knowledge-gathering senses, like the eye and the ear and the nose. and others were karmendriya, and action senses such as the voice and the anus in general. So another action senses are the hands and the feet. Generally, we wouldn't think of those as senses or indriya, but they are karmendriya. Gyanendriya means those senses which give knowledge. So those are the normal ones we think of as senses. But we have the karmendriyas also. They do activities to fulfill the desires of the living entity after one gets some knowledge of the material world. So through the knowledge gathering senses, we will perceive certain things as good, and therefore we want them. In order to get them, then we have to do certain activities. So the karmendriyas help in that, particularly the hands and the feet. So by using the feet, we can go close to an object that we want, and by the hands, we can grab the object, we can grasp the object, we can attain that object. So hands and feet are very, very important for the enjoyment of the living entity. So though they do not give knowledge or perception, they help us fulfill our desires in the material world. So they are included among the karmendriyas, the hands and the feet. But as is pointed out here, they are called blind because they have no sense of perception on their own. Of course, we can say that attached to the hands and the feet, we have some sort of perception of touch, a limited. But definitely they cannot see or do anything else, so quite limited. So here they're called blind. Blind persons. But I said very, very important for fulfilling the activities of the jiva in his body. And then it describes that the chief servant, he had 11 bodyguards and 11 servants, and the chief one was the mind. So the mind, of course, also is very important. The queen is the intelligence, and one of these servants, the chief servant, is the mind. So the mind is the internal sense, whereas the other senses are called external senses, and they directly contact things in the material world. The mind doesn't do that. But it takes the information from the knowledge-gathering senses and puts it all together. And from that, then the intelligence helps to make a decision on what I'm going to enjoy in the material world. Sometimes the information comes in, but we don't want to enjoy it. It is not good information that we get, so we want to avoid something. Okay? So the deciding factor, of course, is the intelligence, buddhi. Buddhi is a discriminating factor. But to help that, we have the gatherer of all the information, that is the mind. So it brings all these sense impressions in, and it stores the previous impressions, and it puts them all together with previous experiences and everything. And from this we understand the present impressions are good or bad, or this I desire this, I don't desire this. So all of this, the mind holds everything, and then the intelligence makes a decision based on this experience. Therefore, this is good or this is bad. So this is how the internal sense operates, that is the mind. So it takes all the impressions that from outside and puts them all together in one place along with the previous impressions of things. And then the buddhi tries to make a decision on which object is good and which is bad, and which one I want and which one I don't want. So therefore the mind here is described as producing illusion or moha, happiness, satisfaction, etc. through different things. And so we get the impressions, and then from that we can get a sense of satisfaction because of the mind. The mind holds all these things in it and says, this is good or this is bad. I like this, I don't like this. Okay? So these impressions of like and dislike are held in the mind. Okay? Now, of course, this is a material thing. It's not the jiva. So the jiva is the conscious entity. But because of ahankar, it identifies with the body, the senses, and the information coming into the senses. This is good for the body, and this is good for me, my body. So the jiva experiences happiness and distress by identification with body. And the body will say, this is good or this is bad, based on the sense knowledge coming in and previous experiences held in the mind. So that is how the things operate together. Okay? So all of these things are necessary. We need the mind, we need the intelligence, we need the senses, the openings in the body, we need the hand, we need the feet. And, of course, the most important thing is the jiva. Paranjana is the jiva. He's the one that wants to try to enjoy. So then he needs all of these things in his city for his enjoyment. Okay? So they're all interdependent. Paranjana cannot enjoy unless he has this body, the city. And then he needs the senses and the gates and the objects out there. And of course, then they have the devatas in charge of the senses. All these things are necessary. So in this way, Paranjana thinks, now I'm happy. But, of course, this is illusory, because it is nothing to do with the jiva ultimately. It's only due to the jiva identifying with the body. So he identifies materially, and then he gets his enjoyment through this complicated process. So, of course, the whole thing is actually illusory. Now, the mind, of course, produces illusion, but actually this whole process is illusory. It's based on this identification of Paranjana with his body. And this ultimately, how does that arise? It's ignorance. Paranjana, or the jiva, does not recognize his spiritual nature or the nature of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he identifies with material things. He gets all these servants and city, etc. So in this way, the situation is actually temporary. It's real. The cities are real, so the material body is real, but it is temporary. And in spite of that, the jiva becomes very attached to the material body. Yeah? Just as a person will become attached to his house or his town or his city, so the jiva becomes attached to the particular body he's in that moment, and he begins to do his activities in that body and try to get his enjoyment there. So that is actually described in the next verses, where he becomes bewildered and tries to enjoy in the body and becomes very, very attached. So it's all illusory ultimately, because the jiva will have to leave the body after some years. And then his conception is destroyed completely. It's no longer a city he can enjoy. So at the point of death, a person may realize that it was all a useless endeavor to try to enjoy, because you have to give up the body eventually. It has no meaning anymore. At that point, he may have some sort of realization. So that is one of the reasons why everything is temporary in the material world. The Lord wants us to realize ultimately that such temporary things, even though they may look like they are full of happiness, are actually causes of distress, because you have to give them up eventually. So therefore, this allows us to have higher inquiry. Now, what is the purpose of life if it is not to live in the material world and gather all sorts of enjoyments? What is the purpose of life? So for that reason, everything in the material world is temporary and liable to destruction. So we have destruction of bodies, destruction of things in the material world, we have destruction on a bigger scale, like the day of Brahma. We have destruction of everything at the end of the life of Brahma. You know, various levels of destruction built into Prakriti. The Prakriti is eternal. The objects made out of Prakriti's expansions in terms of elements are all temporary and destructible. So this is the very nature of the material world, and the Lord makes it like that to so the jiva can get some sort of realization. This is not actually very satisfying. And the story here tells that by showing how the body is ultimately destroyed. In one sense, yes, because it's discriminating. The mind does not in itself discriminate. So it cannot take all the information and come to a logical conclusion. It may come to a, it may make a decision based upon simply like and dislike, but it cannot make an intelligent decision. Even some things which we don't like may be better. Like a bitter medicine may not be good for you. You don't like it, so you don't want to take it. But intelligence will say, the medicine will cure me, therefore I must take the bitter medicine. Mind will say, I don't like that medicine, I don't want to take it. So intelligence is the logical factor. Sometimes it prevails, but sometimes it doesn't. The mind is too strong, and sometimes intelligence becomes weaker. So technically, in its proper position, it should actually control the mind. That's proper function. Often it doesn't. That means uncontrolled mind. The intelligence is simply at the dictates of the mind. And whatever the mind wants, then intelligence is used to fulfill those desires, even if they're irrational or useless or destructive or whatever. So that means uncontrolled mind. So the intelligence should be the controller, but in many cases it isn't. It becomes subservient. Because jivas want to enjoy, so he makes the material world for the jivas to enjoy in material bodies, because they want to enjoy.
The question is also made by the intelligence. The decision is also made by the intelligence.
What's that? The decision?
The decision of enjoying the material world is also made by the intelligence of the.
Well, yeah, ultimately ignorance. He's supposed to be intelligent, but ultimately the intelligence also is under ahankara. Ahankara is more subtle. And this is ignorance, false identification with enjoyment in the material world.
In the spiritual world, we are not supposed to have ahankara.
No.
And how come we give up the publicity of enjoyment?
Our enjoyment is dependent on our service to the Lord. In the material world, enjoyment is based upon putting the self in the center. Yeah. You can enjoy in hell or suffer in hell because of subtle senses. Before you get a gross body.
So ultimately, the power of making decisions is what controls the Atma.
Yeah, the Atma also has power ultimately as free will, so that is a deciding factor also. But that intelligence isn't developed. If we get inspiration from Paramatma or the Supreme Lord in any form, then of course that intelligence also can develop, a spiritual intelligence. And Krishna says, I give you intelligence by which you can come to me. That is not material intelligence, that's spiritual intelligence. In the Atma.
Thank you. meditative. Study on the money. Prabhu.
திவ்யா கல்யாணம் கல்யாணங்க திவ்யம் பார்க்கறேன்.